This is, it's March 12th, Wednesday, March 12th, 9:05 p.m. This is a working group of the PNB Elections Committee. We're here to address the issue of a software patch, fix, correction that needs to be made. And I thought we could start by asking. Actually, I'd like to start. This is Serene Roberts. I'm the convener of the working group, and I would like to start by asking Bill Crozier if he's willing to actually facilitate the meeting.
That's okay with me. Anybody else interested? Guess not.
You're it.
Okay. We need somebody as secretary, and hopefully somebody who can send minutes out tomorrow, because I'd like to get these sent out, or at least as soon as we can, to the whole committee. Anybody able to do that?
I'll take that, unless someone else is willing to do it, because it actually is going to be a little dicey for me. I'm moving around a bit right now.
Okay. Well, if somebody else comes on, you could ask them if they want to later. But, okay, so that was you, Serene, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Casey is going to be calling in, right? He has the number and everything?
He is going to be calling in. In fact, let me continue, and I'll call and let him know that we've started.
Okay, thank you. Regarding the agenda, I guess when Serene gets back, we'll check with her, but I assume we'll let Casey give his report on what preparations he's been making, and then we'll have Q&A, and that may lead to other questions. Anybody else have anything else that we need to do tonight?
I think we need to have an executive session afterwards to kind of deal with things that might need to be dealt with in an executive session following this.
Okay.
This is Jan Goodman.
Yeah, I concur.
Sounds reasonable. Okay.
Just a point of order, per se. If you can just have everyone on the call just identify yourself with your name and your station.
Jan Goodman, KPFK.
Jack Van Aken, KPFK.
Bill Crozier, KPFT.
Serene Roberts, WBAI. And I'm getting voicemail for Casey, but I will try again.
Thank you.
Do we know who's
you know,
this is Jack. Do we know who's absent from the meeting?
Leslie Radford.
Actually, Leslie, I don't think volunteered. I thought that was Wesley Bethune.
Oh, Wesley.
And Afia, I think, had said she might be on late. And Bonnie is, I believe, in transit and explained that she would not likely make this meeting at any rate.
I think George Ryder said he would try to call in a little bit late. I'm not sure about Wesley. I saw both of them earlier today, but I don't know if they're going to call in. But we don't need to wait for them necessarily. Does anybody know, I guess Casey will be filling us in, if there's any progress on finding somebody to help with the computer operations?
I do know that there has been some progress. I don't know that it's come to completion. It may have. But I have information about that. But since it would involve possibly contracting somebody's services, that would be the item that I would like to talk about in closed session.
Okay. And maybe Casey will have some information about that. I don't know if he's been involved with that or not, in looking for somebody to help with that.
If it were all settled, then we could talk about it, most of it, in open session. I think.
Yeah.
Not sure. Maybe all of it. But.
This is Jan. I have some information about people willing to participate in the KPFK recount under certain conditions. And I also have information about, which might be discussed right now, about, what's his name, Michael Lauer, who was discussed a bit last time, and they could give a report on that.
Okay. Well, if we can get Casey on soon, why don't we do that after we discuss the WBAI stuff? That's okay.
Okay.
Since the WBAI count's supposed to be coming up soon.
Hi, it's Doreen. Casey said he'll join us in a few minutes. He's going to call in a few minutes. It sounded as though he was outdoors, but I don't know if he's in transit to something, somewhere.
Okay. Is Jane Gatewood? Or Jan?
Jane is not on the call, and in fact, I think she's preparing for a local meeting in D.C. tomorrow, and she had sent an email saying she wouldn't be on the call.
That's right. Okay.
I think that was Serene, right? Is that you, Serene, that's talking just now?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm responding to whoever just asked for Jane.
I know.
Yeah, that was me, Bill.
He thought it was Jan talking and straightened out who's who. So where are we on the agenda?
What we were talking about, Serene, was just with the agenda. If we don't have anything else, I guess we'd like to get Casey's report first, if he can get on soon, and then we'll have questions and answers for him about preparations for the ballot counting at WBAI, and then I guess, and also for KPFK, if he has additional information for that.
Well,
I could use our time productively, perhaps, giving my report before Casey got online.
Okay.
Your report on what, though? I'm sorry. Right, but a report on what?
On people, personnel available to do. To be involved with the county.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that a discussion in open session or executive session?
Well, I could give this part of the report.
No. I'm saying the issue that you're currently raising.
Open session is okay.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not being clear. I thought the discussion that you're making reference to took place in executive session.
I don't.
We had discussion in open session. This is Bill, about the need for doing a computer count.
So right, but that's the only thing we had in open session.
So this is on that subject.
No, because you're the issue. It seems to me, and I don't have the minutes, but my recollection could certainly be flawed. But the motion was on using the open session motion was on using hand count. Computer counts rather than hand counts for the rest of it.
I see. So
the other discussion, the one to which you are making reference, took place in executive session, is my understanding.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll go along with that. I stand corrected.
Are you going to wait till we have executive session then, Jan?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
William, did anybody else have anything else for the agenda for the open session? Facebook report, Q&A on that. And I guess if assuming there's time, we can talk about both WBAI and KPFK, since KPFK recount will be presumably coming up soon.
You know, I would suggest adding the issue of the computer, the laptop computer that Art Stasny rented, and at a meeting where Jan was present, not to get too deeply into it, but the point is, this volunteer rented a computer. Our general manager suggested that he would, Pacifica would pay the bill for it. This thing has gone, it's been out for weeks. So the rental fee, you could buy two or three laptops. So I just want to raise this issue, and somebody has to take responsibility for settling the account with that computer.
Do you want to talk about that now while we're waiting for Casey? And
sure.
See if he has a suggestion?
Well, yeah, I think Casey should get that computer back to the owner, which is a company that we've given him the contact info location for, and settle up accounts with them. Either probably buy it would be cheaper than paying whatever the rental fee has come to. Probably, a couple thousand dollars by now.
Wow. Is it a Mac or a PC?
It's a PC. It's an Asus laptop.
Mm.
Yeah. in the market for a Mac, Serena?
Well, I'm sorry?
For that.
Are you in the market for a Mac?
No, I'm just curious.
So Jack, this is Bill. Who is paying for the rental?
Well, Art Stasny, you know, has a long relationship with this vendor and went in there, and they sort of, you know, let him take it out without even, I don't think he even put any money down. And, you know, since I think, what is it, late? When did we make that deal at Michelle's Jan? Was that in January or December?
I think it was in, I think it was in January.
January?
But I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Well, we can ask Casey about that, too, if he has...
But it's been a long time, no matter which way you cut it.
Yeah.
Is that the same machine that... This is Serene. That, that is supposed to be out of town, or the person in whose possession the laptop was out of town?
Yeah.
For 2 weeks?
Yeah, that was Michael Lauer. But I get back.
Casey has that back now, and it was not missing because he was out of town. It was missing. I mean, it wasn't not returned because Michael Lauer left town for whatever period of time. It was being held in waiting to continue the count, which was. It was promised that the count would be continued, like, immediately, but it just has gotten pushed off. So that's why it's still...
But were there two computers rented?
And just as an update for that, Casey is now in possession of that computer.
Yeah. Well, I'm not...
Or somebody is. Michael Lauer is no longer in possession.
I make it clear, I'm not faulting Michael Lauer, and I don't think anyone should. It's somebody from Pacifica's responsibility, not some volunteers that, you know, trying to do some good.
So is someone offering a motion that we recommend that Pacifica take care of the bill by either paying the bill or buying the machine, whichever is cheaper at this point?
Yeah.
So moved. Jan Goodman.
Hey, I'm the secretary, and I certainly wasn't keeping track of what I just said. I'm asking whether someone wants...
I'll make a motion.
Rephrase. Go ahead, please.
Okay, my motion, this is Jan Goodman, my motion is to make a recommendation to Pacifica, to the National Board, or to the controller, the treasurer, to pay the bill for the computer that was rented by Art Stasny to tabulate the votes from the KPFK election to either pay the rental charges or purchase the computer. And if the computer gets purchased, then the Pacifica will make the decision as to where that computer will remain after the Pacifica's votes are counted for this round of elections.
Okay.
And you're going to send me that by email. You actually don't need a second in committee, then.
No, that's true. Okay. So, yeah, can you send that to us by email?
Okay. Yes.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Whatever we do is just going to be a recommendation anyway.
Yeah, I just want to point out that we can't...
Should I recommend it, too?
You have to recommend that the ED resolves the bill.
Okay.
You could just say the Pacific. We recommend the Pacifica pay for it, and then.
No, but we have to send. I think we have to send a more pointed request. So the only thing the committee can do is to actually direct things to the ED, who then directs it to whomever in the chain of command would normally do that thing.
Right. Okay, so can you include that in the motion?
Yes.
Is there any more discussion on that motion? Are there any objections to passing the motion? Hearing no objection, then that motion passes. Is there anything else we need to talk about or can't talk about before we have Casey on the line? I'll bring up one thing, and I'm hoping that we'll hear from him on this, or I'll ask him about it, is procedures. I'm real fuzzy if there, what sort of written procedures that there are, or that Casey, or that the local election supervisors have been using. I talked to our local election supervisor here, and he apparently didn't get any from Casey, but said they were promised some. But we finished our count, back in November, I guess it was. So I don't know if he's written some up since then. I'm afraid of more chaos erupting if decisions have to be made on the spur of the moment after they look at ballots when they're doing the count at WBII. I mean, is there any written procedures on how they're going to resolve these questionable things that seem to come up every time?
This is Jeff. I can speak to it.
Okay.
There's an appalling dearth of written procedures. Pacifica has not really produced anything, so that all of these ad hoc decisions that have been made and overturned on the spur of the moment and then, you know, wind up in all sorts of contentious situations have been, you know, fairly predictable. They've just come to a real crisis this year. So there really isn't anything. I used to think the bylaws were overly specific in terms of what, how the election had to be conducted, but since we've been unable for some reason to produce any sort of elaborated procedures, I now think the bylaws are, you know, I'm happy at least we have that to hang our hat on. And that's the sad truth. Kenny Moss wrote a man.
Fia Wangaza.
Hi, Fia.
Hi.
Yeah, Kenny Mosburn wrote...
Sorry, can I just take advantage of the slight pause to say that sure. I just called Casey again. He's actually driving, so I'm going to call him back on a three-way since he can't dial in as he's moving.
Okay.
Okay.
Remind him
that
was supposed to
be
24 minutes ago. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so Kenny Mosburn wrote a manual on the completion of his term as National Election Supervisor. I've heard it described secondhand by a subsequent National Election Supervisor as worthless or useless. So we really just don't have anything. And it's really where it really gets serious is that the local supervisors don't really have any materials to guide them. So they're pretty much at sea once they're hired, unless they have, you know, really good and adequate supervision.
Did anybody get a chance to look at the few things that we've been circulating around by email the last few days?
Okay, we've got Casey.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello, everybody. My apologies for being late.
This is Phil Crozier. I'm facilitating, and we have Jack Van Aken, Jan Goodman, Serene, Afia. Is anybody else on the line that I've forgotten about? There may be some more people that call in later, and what we were just talking about we can continue later, but we wanted to get a report from you on preparations for the WBAI election.
Yes, well, as I mentioned last week, my main concerns were about the apparent inability of the software to distinguish at all times invalid ballots, and that is that some invalid ballots were red flagged as invalid, but others that were later found to be invalid had not had a red flag that comes up on the program to alert the users to, you know, the fact that a ballot is invalid. In my discussions with our technical advisor, Ilya, he reported that he was unable to that he had studied the code and was unable to identify the source of that problem. He said he didn't know how long it would take, or you know how much extra effort and cost to solve that. So what we have to do is a workaround, which is to use handheld scanners that are specifically used for reading barcodes only validate ballots before we scan them for images.
You've talked to Ilya in the last week about that?
Yes, we've been communicating by email about this and another problem, which I'll mention in a minute. But yes, he's actually been spending quite a bit of time on preparing the WBI templates for use in this upcoming vote count.
Okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted you. I should have let you go on, and then we can ask you when you finish your report, I guess. So go ahead.
Well, the plan is to follow that proposed procedure of using handheld scanners to validate the ballots using the list of valid PIN numbers. And then after we have the valid ballots identified and the invalid ballots separated out, we will scan the images, the valid ballots, and use software to convert those images into .in files that can be read by the Choice Plus Pro program.
Okay.
Now there is another problem that I've discussed with Ilya that he and unable to tackle due to short turnaround time we have, because this is something that of course would take writing new code and would take a considerable deal of testing, and that is in reviewing the mailing list to which we sent the 15,000 plus ballots in October. I carefully combed through it and found over 100 instances of duplicates. In other words, there were people who were issued ballots that should not have been. In other words, more than one ballot. And this was due to the usual clerical errors in data entry, such as spelling a name, the same name in different ways, for instance, I spoke with somebody who requested a ballot, and we'd sent him a replacement ballot by certified.
You still there, Casey? Is everybody else there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we're here.
I'm here.
So who was it they called, Casey?
Whoever called him ought to call him back.
Yeah. Is that you, Jan?
I've got to hang up and call back in. Sorry. I can't get rid of him.
Okay, is that you, Jan? Keep calling back. It'd be great. Okay. So who's still on?
Jack.
Jan.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Bill. Okay. Okay, well, we'll have him back soon.
Well, the issue of duplicate ballots is nothing new. People have been given replacement ballots, and I received two ballots, and I know people, you know, in prior elections, and I know people who received three ballots. I don't know why this is suddenly a new item.
Well, if he's identified which ones were duplicate, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you have a master barcode list that is, ballots are checked against via the barcode.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is a new issue that requires Elia's attention.
Right, it would just be like somebody getting a replacement ballot. You have to invalidate the first one.
Yeah.
As long as they have the same barcode and you have a program that kicks out a second one, which I think that this program does. Am I correct, Jack?
Yeah, it will not accept the same barcode twice. It will complain that it has already processed that barcode. So.
But if it's a replacement ballot or a duplicate,
Hi.
It should have a different
Hi.
Number anyway.
Okay, sorry, Serene. I guess he went through a zone or something and got dropped. I'm going to reconnect him now. So hold.
Thank you.
Okay. Casey, you should be back on. Hello? Hello?
We're here, but not Casey.
Casey? No, I guess more phone trouble. I had him on when I called you guys.
Oh, hello.
Ah, there. Casey?
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Casey, is that you?
Hello, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Is this Casey saying hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Guys, can you hear?
Yes.
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 Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't know how we got cut off, but, well, that's speakerphones. I mean, cell phones for you. All right, so I'm not sure where we were. I was just... explaining that we have a list of over 100 pairs of duplicate ballots that were sent out. One way this happens is any small difference in the database was not checked apparently by the methods that were used for combing for duplicates through the software. For instance, if somebody lives in apartment 3L and it's put APT 3L, and then there's another entry that's pound sign 3L, that could end up with two different entries for the same person. And if that person gave twice during the qualifying period, then they would receive two ballots because of a slight difference in the way that their address was written.
Casey, may
I? I have a list, as I said, of over 100 pairs of duplicates.
Casey,
and,
hear me.
Unfortunately, we don't have a program that will do the either-or choice. So what I've... decided to do is to have, I will just take all of those, both pairs, off of the list of valid PIN numbers. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I will remove all of those from the list of valid PIN numbers, and then what we will do is we will take all the invalidated ballots, because that's a much smaller population than the group of valid ballots. So we'll take the invalid ballots and compare them to the physical list of the pairs of ballots. And in so doing, we will see if if any instances, and there will be, of people who voted one of those ballots, will then that ballot will be validated. But if both ballots are voted, only one of those ballots, the first one that we come across, will be validated, and the pair ballot will be invalidated.
Okay.
That way nobody gets to vote twice.
Casey, can you hear me? This is Jack.
Yes, Jack, go ahead.
First of all, are you saying that this is a new problem that has not been encountered before?
I don't know that it's a new problem, but it hasn't been encountered before because we haven't done a careful cross-check. I can tell you, I spent at least 20 hours going through that list looking for these, and quite frankly, the reason I did it is because the attorney for the plaintiffs in the WBA lawsuit signaled to me that he intended to, that he would likely challenge the election on the basis of people getting duplicate ballots. So I spent that extra time to make sure that we really didn't have that problem of duplicate ballots.
Well, this problem seems to be caused by lists that have not been cleaned, which has been a problem in the past, so that anecdotally you hear about individuals receiving two and three ballots.
That's true. And you know, if we had a close look at their address labels, we might find very small differences, like writing out the word street or abbreviating it.
So you're saying that prior to this WBAI election, there has either been no instances of these or that there's been no effort to resolve the matter so that people aren't voting twice and three times?
Yes, you could say that. I actually intended to try to tackle the database problem with early hiring of the local election supervisors last year, but when it came down to it, the PNB didn't act to authorize that till mid-June, and by the time we got the hiring postings up, the interviews done, and the people hired, basically they were hired about the same time as they were in an ordinary year and had their other duties to tackle, and we didn't really get to thoroughly comb through the databases as I had hoped.
Now, you're just talking about WBAI, is that right? Is that the only station where you've gone
to? At the moment, I'm just talking about WBAI. Undoubtedly, there are similar problems at the other stations, but they're not being called into question at the moment.
Okay. Well, do you want to continue with your report? I don't know what else you have to tell us.
And then I just want to reiterate that, you know, that the real key to that problem, this database problem, is that you know, the information is taken over the phone in the crowded, noisy phone room by volunteers, and then somebody tries to discern what their writing says and does the data entry. And so you end up with memberships duplicated with slightly differing information. So it would take a real overhaul of our databases to correct this problem. The immediate problem, I believe, is being addressed in the way I suggested, that we will invalidate all of those pairs of duplicates on the first round, and then we will look at all invalid ballots to see which ones are part of those pairs. And we will allow one of each of those pairs to be validated.
Okay. Is that written down somewhere so people will know what's going to be happening and why you're going through that?
I've just been working this out, and I don't have it written out stage by stage yet, but I will do so that people have a clear understanding.
I think it's really important to have, this is Bill again, have a procedures written out in advance, because if you don't, then you're probably going to be challenged by one person or another on while the ballots are being processed, if it looks like you're changing the procedure or making it up, and they didn't know about what it was going to be, you know, if you've gotten it written out in advance, I think it would avoid a lot of challenges.
Well, yes, and I will do that. And speaking of such things, I must say that there's something that I should alert you all to now, and that is that there's also a problem with not all of the members, qualified members, who are on the Memphis database actually being in our a mailing list that was mailed to in October. And I've been working from the mailing list. And then when people have made replacement ballot requests and they are not on the mailing list, we have asked for help from the subscriptions folks at WBAI. Now, unfortunately, when the injunction was lifted, we were going right into fund drive mode. So the availability of subscriptions folks was, you know, just not there. And so I had a list of 52 people who had requested replacement ballots and were not on the mailing list. And I just got that list checked and emailed back to me on Monday night. You know, now that the fund drive was over, they were able to turn to it. And so just today, I sent out the something on the order of 22 ballots. As, no, I remember there were four staff ballots. I'm not sure the exact number of listener sponsor ballots. But those were sent out today by overnight mail. So I feel that it is incumbent upon us to check the P.O. box again on Monday morning to see if any of these last-minute replacement ballots have been returned by mail. And I also invited all of them to come in to the station on Saturday between noon and 4 to drop off their ballots if they're able to.
Okay, so everybody, as far as you know, everyone who was on the Memphis list but not on the mailing list has now been mailed a ballot as of today. Is that correct?
That is my impression. You know, of course, yeah, you can never be 100% sure about these things, but that is, you know, my impression. That's why I just put $325 out of pocket on mailing these overnight ballots so that people would still get them in a timely manner.
Okay. Well, how was the Memphis database and the mailing list compared?
How are they compared?
You said you think you've got everyone, but as like, do you not know who was doing it or? Is it there?
Well, I don't know. I do know that some of the people who were left off of the mailing list and through later checks appeared in Memphis, that several of them at least subscribed on the 30th or 31st of August of 07, so right at the end of the qualifying period, and I don't know what the procedures are in the subscriptions department, but whether they had not yet been entered by the time we got the mailing list, I don't know. But there, I noticed one case because that somebody had given in May, and so they certainly don't fall under that category. So how it happened that some qualified people were not included in the mailing list, I do not know, because it is up to the subscriptions department to provide a list to us, as well as for us to get the information from the volunteers volunteer coordinator so that we could include them in the listener sponsor list and then check for duplicates.
Okay, well, this is Bill. Actually, that's not exactly my question, but let me, I should have let you go on, and we can ask you more questions at the end. But do you want to tell us the rest of your progress towards getting ready for WBAI and APFK?
That's pretty much it. I still have to I just picked up the hand scanner yesterday, and I've had a very busy day today, including getting the overnight stuff mailed. And I need to test the hand scanner. So that's the one big step to make sure that that actually is working properly for us to do the check. And then as far as the rest of it goes, I think that, you know, we should be able to do a full scan of all the valid ballots, and then to check those images on the Abby form reader, and then that's so hold on just a second.
What?
I'm sorry. Got distracted for a moment there.
Okay, I hope you're not driving.
No.
Okay.
I pulled over.
Okay, good.
I had to take places, pull over.
Was there anything else, I mean, for KPFK also, or WBAI, anything else that progress has been made on? I'm not sure who's doing what, for example, or the write-in ballot situation at KPFK?
Well, I haven't been looking at KPFA. Or KPFK, because I think it's very important to get WBAI done correctly. The last thing we need is to botch that. I think we need to get WBAI past this. I actually had intended to start work on KPFK this week, but then our attorney representing Pacifica in New York, Dan Silverman, came up with a long list of questions for publication that the court needed available by tomorrow. And then, of course, I also got the list of people who needed ballots from the subscription folks at WBAI. So between those two things, it was just impossible to do anything else except attend the WBAI business.
Okay. When do you plan to open the ballots and start validating them?
Okay. Well, here's the plan. We will have an open house at the station on Friday from noon till 9 p.m. And then, so we'll be supplying replacement ballots for those who still need them, and we'll be accepting ballots for people who want to drop them off. And then on Saturday morning, the 15th, we will go to the storage unit to pick up the ballots that have been put in storage there, and we will go to the post office to pick up the ballots that have been delivered there. We will proceed to the station, and there we will begin the opening of envelopes and the sorting of materials, sorting staff ballots from listener ballots, and taking out checks, notes, and other ephemera, and so that process hopefully will be done on Saturday, and then on Sunday we can start with the verification of ballots, and then on Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, we have use of a room at the Department of Labor, So we will use that venue for the actual counting of the ballots.
So ballots that come in Monday or Tuesday can still be included in the count?
I don't know about Tuesday, but I do think it would be appropriate to check the P.O. box Monday morning and to include the last-minute replacement ballots in the count, because, as I said, some of these people will have gotten their ballots tomorrow. Other than that, the last ballots that were mailed last Friday, so those people should have gotten their ballots already and had a chance to mail them in.
And they got instructions that they had to be sent in by when?
The instructions said they had to be received by the 14th. And then on the latest batch, I said that they could drop them off at the station on the 15th.
Okay. Should we ask you more questions? I'm not sure if you have more to tell us first, or do you have any more report to give before we go into more questions?
Well, yes. I'll tell you that I'm involved in a labor dispute at the moment. That I've been told that I would not be paid for the work I'm doing, and that there's a chance that I will not be appearing at all. Unless the interim executive director honors the original terms of the contract, and you know, I believe that the delay of the mailing of the ballots in October was his decision, based on the problem of Steve Brown's request for access to the membership list being delayed because the PNB kicked Greg Gumma out just at the wrong time. And so he was sitting on his desk when he left. And then when Dan Siegel stepped in, he didn't deal with it immediately. And so that put us in a very untenable situation, because California nonprofit law allows only 10 days turnaround time for such a request. And because that request had not been fulfilled within 10 days, then we were over a barrel and ended up delaying the election, which then caused the injunction. And this is none of my doing. In fact, there's a good chance that the WBAI will not be counted at all unless somebody lets Dan know the importance of getting this count done and keeping things in place, instead of trying to be penny-wise and pound-foolish, saying that I'm not to be paid for the work I've been doing. Now, during this past year, I've been putting in a hell of a lot of 90-hour weeks. I was paid at first for 30 hours, and I got a raise to be paid for 40 hours a week. But I can tell you, the job is a lot more than that. And having had my pay withheld for 6 weeks, and I was given the choice of either I could stand with my principles and be evicted from my home, or I could kowtow to the unfair labor practices that were being put down by Pacifica. Well, I had to choose, obviously, not being evicted, and so. But at this point, I have tendered my offer of resignation, and it's up to the interim executive director to either decide to honor the terms of the original contract, or to suffer whatever legal consequences there are of not getting this vote count done.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you had to go through all that.
It's been difficult. This is a very stressful job, and if you read the reports of any of the previous national election supervisors, you see there've been delays in every election. This is the first time I know of that where an election got delayed this long by a lawsuit. I guess the first time around it got delayed. All the election vote counts got delayed till February because of the initial lawsuit, but. I have been working in good faith and working very hard and trying to prepare properly to do a vote count that will not that will stand up to challenge in the court. But at this point, that you asked if there's anything more in my report, I just felt like I had to report that to you. Right now, up until now, it's just been between Dan Siegel and myself. I did inform Dan Silverman of the situation because he needs to know that this vote count is in jeopardy. So I would suggest that, you know, if you want this done, it's only going to take...
point of order?
Days.
Yes. What's your point? Go ahead.
I'm concerned about continuing in this vein on a public stream because there's, especially because
I shouldn't be talking about personnel matters and on a public stream, and my apology for that.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate you letting us know, but yeah, we probably need to talk to you more, perhaps with the ED about this privately.
Okay. Well, look, my plan at this point is to go ahead with the vote count, and I just need assurances that I will be compensated properly, and that my out-of-pocket expenses, such as the $325 a day on overnight mail to make sure that everybody got a replacement ballot in a timely manner, that all that's covered.
Okay, I understand that. We'll have to do some checking on that.
Okay.
I certainly hope you get paid for your expenses too.
Of course.
Now, do you know? Were other people going to be coming in to help with the operating the scanner and the software and all that?
We don't have any technical people lined up. There's been no budget for this. We did put out a call for people, and I'm going to be putting out another call over Craigslist, and Dave Ratner put out an email to the WBAI community looking for help. Again, if you want professionals to come in to help with that, that's a matter of budget, and I've been told that there is no budget. My understanding is that in the 2006 cycle that there were no volunteers, that it was all temp workers that were hired to do the handling of ballots. I don't know the full details of that.
Okay, well, we'll have to check on that. But as far as you know, there's nobody lined up right now to help. The reason I was asking is that there were concerns about troubles with the computer software last fall, and I didn't know is there a plan for making sure we don't have those problems again.
Well, the main concern, and maybe Jack can expand on this, but to my understanding, is the main concern was the question of identifying invalid ballots, and if we use the barcode software with hand scanners separately first, and then only do full scans of the ballots that are identified as valid, that the concerns about the red flagging of invalid ballots will be moot.
Jack, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was muted. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The red flag issue, it doesn't sound to me like such a big deal as it's being made of. I don't know that it's not. I'm not aware of anybody sitting down with Form Reader and trying to resolve it. Anyway, be that as it may, hand scanning would settle it. You hand scan the ballots, then you've got a valid ballot set. Then you do them with the Kodak scanner to put them into Form Reader. So I just I think a lot of this about the red flag is overblown because, as far as we know, Form Reader was doing a fine job of identifying and putting a message saying invalid barcode on every screen where a ballot came up. It was just the red flag, which is sort of a convenience, which makes it easy to identify those ballots that have some problem with them, not necessarily a barcode problem. Was it ever tried to reinstall the software, for example, and see if something was corrupted, or to reinstall the software with an earlier template?
Yes, Ilya did read all the what he thought were all the pertinent codes and was unable to identify the problem. The thing is that when we look at the list of ballots, we open up all the ones that have the red flag to determine what's wrong. The others may not necessarily be viewed on an individual basis if they're not identified. But anyway, we do have a workaround for that.
Yeah.
This is Bill. Our local election supervisor, I talked with him, and he said there was a problem, at least with the ballots for KPFT, that they may have been printed with an inadequate resolution for the scanner to, or maybe it's for form reader to resolve them. So if that's the case, would that
That was definitely a problem with KPFA, and our technical advisor, Ilya, and I both spent from midnight until, I think it was sometime past 2 in the afternoon, looking at the barcode numbers, because the barcodes themselves weren't being read because they were scanned at a lower resolution. They were scanned at 200 dpi. They should have been scanned at 300 dpi. So I think that scanning them at the proper resolution would perhaps obviate the problem of the quality of the printing of the barcode.
Well, the concern I heard, this is Bill again, was that they were not printed with adequate resolution. So if that's the case, then scanning them at a higher resolution might not be enough. Has anybody tried scanning the ballots like the ones that are sent to WBAI to see if the barcodes can be scanned adequately?
Jack, do you want to speak to that? I think we scanned them both ways at KPFK, didn't have a problem with KPFK.
Here is the issue. Ilya had sent to the appropriate parties a Word document with very clear and easy-to-follow instructions as to how to set the Kodak i1310 scanner, how to adjust the settings so that it would scan the images appropriately for form reader. And if somebody had not checked that file, that Word document, to see what the right settings were, you might just use the default settings. As we did at KPFK, we were careful to put it at 300 dpi. We didn't know, I guess, about the other settings, although Arch Stasny had a copy and probably sent a copy to me. If you didn't know that the threshold where that should be set, then you wouldn't get an acceptable image. So I think we did a half a scan of our set, something like 950 ballots, at the wrong resolution before we realized that we were doing it wrong. So I don't know that any ballots have been printed at the wrong resolution. I know that it's fairly easy to scan them without the proper settings or the wrong resolution.
Do you have that Word document, Casey?
Hold on a second. Sorry, I just had a motorcycle going by.
Do you have that Word document from Ilya?
Jack's correct about that. I don't think, especially if we're going to be using the hand barcode readers, that should not be a problem.
Okay, but Ilya's not going to be available to help, though. Is that right?
Well, he'll be available by telephone if we need him. If you want to hire him to fly out to New York, well, maybe he could consider that, but I don't think he'd be available because he just moved his office in the last couple of weeks.
Okay. And if there's still a problem with printed resolution or something like that, you could, it would take more time, but somebody could type in all the numbers for the barcodes too, right? That would be a way of validating them?
I don't think that extra step would be necessary. The ballots, the numbers are clearly visible on the ballot, and we have a list of all the numbers. If we had to hand compare them, we could, but I don't think that'll be necessary with the hand scanning of the barcodes.
Well, I know. I'm just wondering, since we haven't verified this, to make sure there's a workaround in case there's a problem.
There's certainly a workaround of just doing it by hand, just reading out the ballot numbers or organizing the ballots in numerical order by barcode, by PIN, and then comparing them to the list. We have a list, which is something on the order of 400 pages long, and that's just a column of individual pins. Those are in order, and it'd be a simple though tedious matter of hand validating those ballots. And in fact, that's what we did at KCFK when we were having trouble with the computer equipment. We went ahead and hand validated 2,300 ballots.
Okay, I just want to make sure we have some way that will work, and some procedure that would work if you have trouble with the scanning.
Yeah.
Do you feel confident, or do you have somebody else who can help with the running the vote counting software, Voteress Pro?
I have been trained with it. I have some experience with it. It's, you know, always better to have an additional person to confer with who also has experience. I mean, if you wanted to fly Jack out, I'd be happy to do that. Or maybe he wouldn't. I'm confident that we can go ahead and have a good vote count.
Okay, well, I'm just, because I wasn't there during any of the counting, but I was told that there were problems with that also. But not just with the scanning. So I want to make sure we know what the problems were previously and we know what needs to be done differently now.
Okay, well, the problem with the counting, the main problem I know of, was the problem that occurred at KPFA where the write-in entries were all accumulated into one write-in line. So there were people who had fewer votes than the cumulative of all the write-ins, and they were eliminated prior to the write-ins, and they should not have been. Our workaround on this one is that we will have a yellow flag up on each write-in. We will hand record each write-in, and then we will not put the write-in data in the .in file. So the information that Choice Plus Pro gets will not include the write-ins. We will have recorded them by hand through the form reader. And so, again, that's a workaround. That's something that should work.
Can we get some written procedures on that sort of thing, too? That'll make it more transparent too. So anybody observing will know why you're doing what you're doing, and you know we're trying to avoid, you know, people.
Well, I understand completely what you're saying, though, because this is not the procedure that has been used prior to this. But I think that it makes sense if we can record each write-in before we export the data to Choice Plus Pro. And then
will you be able to run a test set of ballots through beforehand that would handle like the write-in so that we know that the procedures work properly? Do you plan to do that?
Well, I wish we had time for a test. I don't know. Jack, are there any write-ins in Art Stasny's test program?
Are there any write-ins?
Yeah.
Test program? I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, because the question is how write-ins are going to be handled. At KPFA, they might have skewed the results of the election because they were counted cumulatively, and all the write-ins for different scattered individuals.
There's an easy solution for that.
Yeah.
It might be a time-consuming solution. When you're doing the barcode validation, you're handling the complete set of ballots. So you could take every write-in and separate it. And then since what you seem to be describing is to do manual data entry for the write-ins, you could do that. But you're going to have to create a line for every write-in so that if somebody, writes in Amy Goodman, for what you give the CP Pro, you're going to have to create a line for Amy Goodman if this is...
Yeah, no, what we were thinking of doing was just recording all that information in the beginning, yeah. Saying they're write-ins for these people, and then yeah. Not exporting write-ins into CP Pro.
Say you have 20 unique off-the-wall write-ins.
Right.
You can just eliminate all 20 at once. There's no reason to create a separate line for each one.
Exactly.